Traffic is not random. It is the product of a simple dynamic, the balance between how many vehicles enter a road segment and how many leave it. Every road segment can be thought of as a container with two variables, inflow and outflow. The experience of congestion is the result of how these two compare. Inflow greater than outflow, the segment begins to fill. Vehicles back up at the entrance, density rises, and speed collapses. This is the formation of a traffic block. Inflow equal to outflow, the system reaches equilibrium. Vehicles pass through steadily, but the balance is fragile. A single disturbance, a sudden break, a lane change, a merge, can tip the system into imbalance. Inflow less than outflow, the segment clears. The pipe drains, queues dissolve, and the road returns to free flow. The principle is straightforward, but the lived reality is less forgiving. Congestion does not simply vanish when the cause is gone. Long after a lane closure ends or a broken down car is removed, the queue often persists. This persistence comes from the way humans drive. Each acceleration, each brake, each lane change is staggered by a reaction delay. One driver sees the car in front move and accelerates, the next notices a second later, and so on. Instead of all cars moving at once, the release ripples backwards like an accordion stretching one fold at a time. This slinky effect means that even when outflow rises above inflow, it takes considerable time for the backlog to clear. The result, a 10-minute incident can produce an hour-long jam, not because the obstruction remains, but because the block must drain, and human reaction times make that drainage painfully slow. Self-driving cars and coordinated flow. Self-driving cars offer a way to change the equation. Where human drivers are constrained by perception and reaction time, autonomous systems can act on data, immediate, precise, and without hesitation. In today's traffic blocks, release from congestion is sequential. The first vehicle begins to accelerate, the one behind reacts a moment later, and each following driver responds in turn. The signal to move ripples backwards through the queue like a wave. Even if the road ahead is completely clear, the backlog drains slowly, because every action is staggered by human delay. Autonomous vehicles, particularly when networked, have the capacity to break this pattern. Rather than relying on a chain of reactions, they can synchronize their movements. When the lead car accelerates, the instruction to do the same can be shared instantly among all vehicles in the block. The column then moves as one, not as an accordion unfolding coil by coil, but more like a train being pulled forward in unison. The practical outcome is higher outflow capacity. Humans discharge a block one car at a time, while coordinated systems can raise the discharge rate significantly, shortening the lifespan of congestion and reducing the long tails that usually follow even minor disturbances. More importantly, autonomy can stabilize traffic before blocks form at all. By keeping consistent headways, absorbing small fluctuations in speed, and managing merges with precision, self-driving cars dampen the oscillations that normally amplify into jams. Instead of being passive participants in instability, they act as shock absorbers for the road network. Yet today's autonomous systems remain primarily reliant on local perception: cameras, LiDAR, radar, and maps. This allows them to replicate human driving with far greater accuracy, but it does not yet provide the system-wide coordination needed to treat congestion as a collective phenomenon. To move from individual intelligence to networked efficiency, the road itself must learn to speak. Beacons, giving the road a voice. If congestion is shaped not only by vehicles but by the limits of their awareness, then the next step is to extend that awareness beyond the car itself. Self-driving technology has advanced rapidly using cameras, radar, LiDAR, and maps, but each of these tools is bound by line of sight and local perception. A vehicle sees what is in front of it, but not what lies over the next hill, around the next curve, or beyond a screen of fog. Beacons offer a solution: fixed points of infrastructure that broadcast essential information about the road. Placed along motorways, junctions, and intersections, these transmitters would provide vehicles with data that supplements local sensors. A beacon could inform cars of the posted speed limit, of a temporary restriction, or of a closed lane ahead. It could describe the geometry of an upcoming junction, how many exits there are, at what angles they branch, and how traffic is currently distributed across them. It could even announce the tail of a queue, allowing vehicles to decelerate smoothly before they ever see brake lights. Unlike visual signs or painted lines, this information would be machine-readable, unambiguous, and updated in real time. Law enforcement and traffic control centers could adjust broadcasts during emergencies, diversions, or rolling roadblocks. At intersections, beacons could transmit the current state of the traffic lights, removing the need for cars to rely solely on cameras. Signals could then adapt not on fixed timers but on real demand, with beacons detecting how many vehicles are waiting in each direction and adjusting phases dynamically. The principle is simple: a thin layer of communication stitched into the existing road network, carrying just enough truth to help vehicles coordinate. The effect would be systemic clarity. Each car would still perceive and decide locally, but the road itself would supply the missing context, the shared facts that no single vehicle can see on its own. Practical applications of road beacons. The potential uses of road beacons become clear when mapped onto existing infrastructure. On smart motorways in the UK, for example, speed limits are often variable. They are displayed on overhead gantries, updated dynamically in response to traffic flow, weather, or incidents. Human drivers must read and interpret these signs, but autonomous vehicles could instead receive the instruction directly from a beacon. No confusion about visibility in fog or rain, no misreading of a poorly lit display, just a precise machine-readable value. At junctions and exits, beacons could describe the geometry of the road ahead. A vehicle approaching a complex interchange could be told how many exits are available, at what distances and angles they appear, and which lanes are optimal for each route. For humans, this same data could also feed into roadside displays, giving clearer instructions in advance of the decision point. In urban intersections, the value is even more pronounced. Today's traffic lights operate on timers or simple vehicle detectors. They cycle regardless of whether cars are waiting or not, leading to wasted green phases and unnecessary delays. A beacon system could transmit live counts of vehicles waiting on each approach, allowing traffic lights to allocate green phases only where demand exists. More than that, the beacon could communicate the light's current state directly to approaching vehicles, letting them adjust speed early to avoid abrupt stops and starts. The overall effect would be smoother flow, higher throughput, and fewer idling engines. Even in emergencies, beacons would serve a critical role. A rolling roadblock initiated by police could broadcast directly to nearby vehicles, instructing them to slow, shift lanes, or prepare for diversion. Ambulances could trigger priority signals that ripple through intersections ahead of their route, clearing a corridor without relying on drivers to notice flashing lights and sirens in time. These are not futuristic scenarios. Each of these cases already has a partial analog in today's road networks: overhead gantries, painted arrows, inductive loops, sirens. Beacons would not replace these, but augment them, converting information that is currently visual, slow, or ambiguous into signals that are immediate, precise, and universal. The question of transmission. For road beacons to be effective, the way they transmit information is as important as the information itself. On a motorway, a vehicle may be traveling at 70 miles per hour, covering more than 30 meters every second. If a beacon broadcasts data too slowly or requires too much overhead for devices to connect and decode, it risks becoming obsolete before the vehicle even receives it. Latency is not just inconvenient here. It is the difference between a smooth adjustment and a sudden break. Consumer-grade wireless protocols such as Wi-Fi or Bluetooth are not designed for this environment. They rely on handshakes, authentication steps, and packet structures that introduce unnecessary delay. In a home or office, these delays are trivial. On a live road, where a half second can equate to tens of meters, they are unacceptable. The solution is to think in terms of lean, low-latency signaling, closer to the way radio modulation itself works. A beacon does not need to send paragraphs of text, nor negotiate a session with each passing car. It needs only to broadcast small, compact packets, machine-readable values describing speed limits, lane closures, signal states, signed, time-stamped, and designed to expire quickly. The simpler the encoding, the faster the decoding, and the lower the risk of failure. In effect, this becomes a common channel for the road, a shared frequency carrying bursts of truth, continuously repeated, accessible to any vehicle within range. Cars would not need to identify themselves, log in, or request data. They would simply listen, verify, and act. This minimalism is not a constraint. It is a strength. By stripping away overhead, the system ensures that information propagates faster than the vehicles themselves can move. And that speed is what turns a ripple of delayed reactions into a coordinated release. Standardization, a common language for the road mooing. For beacons to function as a universal layer of road infrastructure, their messages must be standardized. A vehicle built in Japan should be able to drive on a motorway in the UK or Germany and receive the same signals in the same format without modification. Without a common protocol, the system risks fragmentation, with each manufacturer or authority speaking its own dialect, a recipe for confusion rather than clarity. The solution is a minimal universal grammar of road messages. Three categories are sufficient to cover the essentials. Map messages, descriptions of the road's geometry and layout. These define the number of lanes, their connections, exits, junction angles, gradients, and any permanent restrictions. SPAT messages, signal phase and timing. These describe the current state of traffic lights and their near-term changes, allowing vehicles to anticipate shifts in flow. Event messages, advisories and exceptions. These cover temporary speed limits, lane closures, hazards, accidents, or queue tails, each signed and set to expire automatically after a short duration. All messages would be cryptographically signed to prevent spoofing, timestamped to ensure relevance, and designed to self-expire to avoid stale data. The payloads would remain small, just enough information for vehicles to adjust behavior safely and consistently. This structure has two advantages. First, it makes the system resilient. Even if a beacon fails or a signal is lost, vehicles still retain their onboard sensors and default rules. Second, it makes the system interoperable. Any car, regardless of manufacturer or country of origin, can understand the same three message types. With this foundation, the road itself becomes a reliable communicator. And once the language is shared, every vehicle can listen, and every journey can be smoother, safer, and faster. Conclusion. Toward a cooperative network, traffic begins with a simple imbalance. More cars entering a segment than leaving it. But the persistence of congestion is a human artifact, born from delayed reactions and sequential responses. What forms in seconds can take an hour to clear, not because the road remains blocked, but because the release drips through the system one vehicle at a time. Self-driving cars promise to change this dynamic. By reacting instantly and moving in synchrony, they can drain blocks faster, stabilize flow, and prevent small disturbances from cascading into full-scale jams. Yet autonomy alone is not enough. Vehicles that see only through their own sensors cannot achieve the systemic coordination that the road itself demands. This is where beacons enter, a thin digital layer woven into infrastructure, broadcasting speed limits, lane closures, junction geometry, and live signal states, provides the shared truth that no single car can perceive. Delivered in compact, low-latency packets and structured through a common standard, these messages would give vehicles the ability to act not as isolated units, but as members of a coordinated network. The result is not the elimination of traffic, but its transformation. Incidents will still occur, but their tails will shrink. Intersections will still cycle, but with greater efficiency. Emergency vehicles will still need space, but corridors will open before them. Roads will become less about reaction and more about cooperation. Vehicles and infrastructure moving together, guided by a language as universal as the painted lines we already rely on. Congestion has long been treated as inevitable. But with autonomy and communication working hand in hand, the slow-draining block need not define the future of mobility. What we glimpse instead is a road system that breathes as one, where delays are shorter, flow is steadier, and every driver, human or machine, travels on clearer terms.